Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, as I just mentioned to you, it was so good being with the brethren in Crossville. I enjoyed being with Brother Donnie and being with Brother David. It was encouraging. It was very encouraging, and it was a real blessing. But one feeling that really stood out to me was the conference made me feel thankful. I was talking to Brother David about that. It made me feel so thankful. I had a moment where I was able to enter into how thankful I was to know the gospel. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Those are rare moments. You know what I mean? It's a shame. But we take knowing the gospel so for granted. We just put it in the Rolodex somewhere. And I'm speaking to my own shame. But the Lord let me. I guess it's because we hadn't... I've been a couple of places, but we haven't seen any congregations in a while. But the Lord gave me a moment. I was sitting there listening to Brother David preach, and on Saturday night I was second. And I had a moment where it just hit me that I am so thankful that the Lord has allowed me the privilege of declaring the word of His gospel. Because we're all in this together. We're all one. We're all one body. Just like I have one body here with hands that do and feet that do and ears that do and a mouth that does. And we're all one. And I was personally just so grateful that the Lord has given me the privilege to, on behalf of all of us. I'm not really preaching to you. I am, but I'm just speaking on behalf of all of us. The Lord could select any of us to come up here and speak on His behalf. And I'm just thankful. This is a real privilege. And it's one that I take for granted. To my shame. But I was very thankful to be counted among God's people. That's something to be thankful for. We have a true hope of glory. We have a true hope of glory. And it's something to be thankful for. And if we really stop and think about it, that emotion ought to be the overwhelming emotion of a child of God in everything. In everything, more than every other emotion that we experience. Thankfulness. We have sorrow. I'm constantly bringing psalms to help us through it. We have sorrow. We experience depression. We experience weakness. We experience fear. Thank God we also experience joy at times and peace at times and love and all those things. I wouldn't want to be without any of those other emotions. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We weep with those who do weep. If I see one of you weeping, I want to weep with you. I don't want to be without that emotion. I sure don't want to be without joy and peace and love and all those things. But every one of those emotions that a believer experiences can be, and it should be, tempered with thankfulness. Even in deep sorrow, we can still be thankful. And I pray the Lord will help us to be. I pray the Lord will help us to be. I've told you before this story. There was a preacher a long time ago named Josh Gravett. And back in the, I believe it was the 30s. I don't think it was the 20s. I think it was the 1930s. he was traveling home from a meeting with a very young, another preacher, young preacher at the time named A.D. Muse. And they were driving in a Model T Ford, and the front tire blew out and the car flipped, and Josh Gravett was thrown from the car and just beat all to pieces. He had broken ribs and a punctured lung and all kinds of things. But the car landed upside down, and A.D. Muse crawled out of the car, opened the door upside down and crawled out of the car, and he saw Josh laying in the weeds, and he crawled over to him and he said, "Brother Josh, are you hurt bad?" And he laying there in his pain and shock, he said, "Archie, God is sovereign and we'll be thankful." He said, "Even in this, we can be thankful. We can be thankful." Well, because Psalm 92 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And because Colossians 3 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And because 1 Thessalonians 5 says, in everything give thanks. I wish I could remember that in everything that comes to me. I wish I could. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks. Because it is truly so good and so beautiful. The scripture says comely all the time. That means beautiful. And because it is so right for a child of God to give thanks, because of that, I have five reasons to give thanks. I've titled this message, Five Reasons to Give Thanks. And I pray that the Lord will make this more than an outline to us. This is an outline, but I pray the Lord will make it more than an outline. And let us be thankful for these things. All right, five reasons to give thanks. Here's the first one. Psalm 118, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." He is good. Now let's see if we can enter into this. I say that a lot of times, but I really entered into this. The Lord let me really enter into this, I believe, for the first time. There is a sovereign over us who has absolute control of us. I mean, absolute control. You know, people hear about God's sovereignty and they say, "Well, I don't like that. That makes me a puppet on a string." I love that. And that's exactly what I am. I'm a puppet on His string. There is a sovereign over us, controlling everything about us. And He can do with us whatever He's pleased to do with us. We are completely at the mercy of how He treats us. We are at the mercy of His will. We have no say in our harm or our well-being. We don't have any say in it. We are at the mercy of a higher and greater than us. And thank God, the one that we're in the hands of is not the adversary. Who is stronger than us? People foolishly speak of Him flippantly. "Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do." Don't do that. He is stronger than us. Peter said, "Trust me. Trust me. You're not going to do anything with Him. He's stronger than us. And He only means evil for us. He is set out, singling out evil and harm. He is working everything that He can do to bring bondage and condemnation to us." Thank God He is in the hands of the same God we're in the hands of. The God who came to this earth to bring good tidings of good. Thank God, our sovereign God, the one who is in control, is good. Thank God He's on top. Thank God He's the highest. This is something to be thankful for. The Scripture says He went about doing good. That's what He did. So Psalm 118 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." He's good. Hold your place right here and turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, verse 32. I love this. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Is that not reason to give thanks? It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Look with me at Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That's what He does because that's what He is. A good work from a good Lord. Look at Philippians 2, verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure." His good pleasure. So that's the first reason that we have to be thankful. The Lord, who is our God and has sovereignly ordered everything concerning us, is good. He is so good to us. He's so kind to us. He has worked all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Good. All right, so go back to Psalm 118. Here's the second reason. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Verse 2 says, "Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever." In Psalm 51, David said, "Have mercy upon me." He said, "According to the multitude of Thy tender mercies." Jeremiah said, "Brand new every morning. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Great is Thy faithfulness. And David said, "According to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Cover my sin in Your blood." As a figure of speech, we'll say, "Can you believe? Can you believe what He did?" Well, can you? Can you believe? Has He given you faith to believe what He has done? Has He given us faith to believe that He has covered our sin in His own blood? Has God revealed to us what mercy really is? And what mercy in Christ really means? If He has, we'll be a thankful people. Go to Colossians 2. This is what it means. While you're turning there, I'll tell you that Ephesians 2 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ." And this is what that means. He quickened us together with Christ. Here's what it means. Colossians 2, verse 13. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them." And I love how the last two words, if you have a center margin, it says, "in Himself." Triumphing over them in Himself. That was His mercy to us, and it's a real reason to be thankful. All right, reason number three. Go back to Psalms. This time, 119, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 62. It says, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgments." He said, "I will be thankful because You are holy. I'll be thankful because You're holy." Our God is holy. And what that means is He can only do right. He is controlling our every step. And it's right. It is only right. His righteous judgment is His holiness. Holiness is purity and it's spotlessness. "Therefore shall not the judge of the earth do right." Perfect. He is ordering everything concerning us and none of it is wrong. None of it. Do you ever wonder, say to yourself, is this how my life is supposed to be going? You ever wonder that? I mean, is this right? Here's the answer. Yes. If you're a child of God. For a child of God, the things, the circumstances that all of God's people go through, yes, it's right. It's right. Everything, every piece of it is perfectly happening for the purpose of bringing mercy and good to God's people. And in that we can give thanks. Reason number four. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians 2, look with me at verse 13. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit in belief of the truth. We thank God for electing a people. Oh, we thank God for choosing to call brethren to Himself. Brethren who can live together and dwell together and fellowship together with one heart and one mind and one soul and one body. David said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I thank God for you. I try to tell you that as much as I can. And if the Lord will let me, I'd love to tell you more. I thank God for you. I sincerely do. Brethren, beloved of God, I thank God for being good to us. I thank God for being merciful to us. I thank God for making all of our wrong right. You know, we're a bunch of people who are wrong in the flesh. If God would take His restraining hand all off of us, it'd be wrong, 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 wrong. Everything would be wrong. But God in His goodness and mercy has put His hand on us as His people and made things right in Christ, in Him. And I thank God for it. I thank God for bringing us together. I thank God that He called me to come here. And I thank God that He called you to come here, whether you were already here or you moved here or whatever happened. I just thank God for bringing us together. Thank God He chose us and saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Thank God He has a particular people, and thank God He's made us to be a part of them. I'm so glad to be a part of His particular people. So glad. One more for tonight. All right. We have infinite reasons to be thankful. One more for this message. Go to Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned." They said, "We give Thee thanks because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and has reigned, O Lord God Almighty." We give thanks because He is who He is. He has done what He has done. He has done it for who He has done it for. And He has reigned. We give thanks because every promise He's made to us, He is able to perform it. Because He reigns. He reigns, and He's going to get the glory for it. And here's a little illustration of that. Considering His goodness, His mercy, His favor, His righteous judgments toward us. Considering His sovereignty and His ability, His power to do whatever He wants to do for us. Just listen to this. I found this. And I don't know who wrote it. This is copied. But see if you enjoy this, okay? See if you think our God is good and see if you think he reigns. See what this creates in you. Moses and the people were in the desert. But what was he going to do with those people? They had to be fed. And feeding 2 or 3 million people requires a lot of food. According to the quartermaster general in the army, it is reported that Moses would have to have had 1,500 tons of food each day. Do you know that to bring that much food each day, 2 freight trains, each a mile long, would be required? Besides, you must remember, they were out in the desert, so they would have to have wood to use in cooking the food. This would take 4,000 tons of wood and a few more freight trains, each a mile long, for just one day. And just think, they were 40 years in transit. And oh yes, they would have to have water. If they only had enough to drink and wash a few dishes, it would take 11 million gallons each day. And a freight train with tank cars 1,800 miles long just to bring the water. And then another thing, they had to get across the Red Sea at night. Now, if they went on a narrow path, double file, the line would be 800 miles long and would require 35 days and nights to get through. So there had to be a space in the Red Sea 3 miles wide so that they could walk 5,000 abreast to get over in one night. But then there is another problem. Each time they camped at the end of the day, a campground 2/3 the size of the state of Rhode Island was required, or a total of 750 square miles long. Think of it, this space just for nightly camping. Do you think Moses figured all this out before he left Egypt? I think not. Moses believed God. God took care of these things for him. Now, do you think God has any problem taking care of all your needs? Does that not make you thankful? Does that not cause us to see the Lord is good and the Lord is able? The Lord is sovereign. He has been good to us. He's been merciful to us. He has done right with us. He has chosen us. And He has and He will sovereignly reign over us and provide for us. And because of that, we're thankful. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He's good, because His mercy endureth forever. All right, let's stand together.